Turning them to the book of Amos. Book of Amos, chapter number 3. Amen. I don't feel like I will be long, but you can tell by my voice, I don't have a lot left. But I do feel to minister this tonight. I feel it in me. I have felt it in me for the last little while. And there's one phrase in this verse that we're going to read that has been rolling over and over in my mind. And this week I believe that God helped me to put it together. Amos chapter 3. I want to read a few verses that just for our hearing, and then we're going to look at verse 12 for a text. But to kind of put this in setting, this is actually a chapter of God's judgment against Israel, all right? This is a chapter of judgment, God's judgment against Israel. And he starts by saying this, verse 2, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." It's not a good way. It's not a good way for the Lord to talk to us. That's not a good way for the Lord to talk to us. Verse 3, "Can two go together, walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in a forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants and the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?" We could go on, but let's skip down to verse 12. "Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed in Damascus in a couch." That verse doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially the last portion. I will just say this about it. He's talking about wealth. He's talking about the wealth of Israel. And he's talking about it almost being a miracle that any is going to be saved at all. In other words, he said, "I'm bringing judgment." He said, "It's almost," and I'm paraphrasing, "it's almost going to be a miracle if any are saved at all." And then he talks about the wealth. And he said, "You know what? It's going to be very scarce. And among those, it's going to probably be the poorest." The phrase that's been going over and over in my mind is two legs and a piece of ear. Over and over, that phrase has went in my mind. And I've preached from this before, and you've heard it many different times. And oftentimes, and when I've preached it before, we preached it from the standpoint of, you know what, the shepherd who God is would spare us, fight for us. Hallelujah. And that's right, and he will. But this time, when I looked at this passage, the Lord allowed me, I guess, prompted me, I should say, probably to study it out a little more, to understand that this is not talking about God being victorious and working miracles on our behalf, although he does. But this passage is, you know what? There's not a whole lot going to make it. It's just going to be a remnant. It's just going to be a few. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, I know there's a number that no man can number. But what God is saying to Israel in this passage is, you know what? I'm going to cause your enemy to wipe you out. To wipe you out. But he said, you know what? There's still going to be two legs and a piece of ear. And I'm going to fight for them. And I'm going to take them from the lion. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to be mindful of the wealth and who's who in the hierarchy of Pentecost. But he said, I'm gonna save them just on the corners, just on the corner of the bed and in Damascus in a couch. This is talking about the whole economy. And I'm not going to deal with that second part. But I want to talk to us about a passion. And I'm not necessarily just going to title it the passion, but ultimately that's what I'm talking about, a passion. Why don't we just lift our hands toward heaven again and let's ask God. Now, Lord, we've worshiped you and we've called on you. And we've been grateful for your presence and for your house. But Lord, right now through your word, I'm asking that your spirit will lead us and guide us. Above all else, we must be saved. God, we need your presence to talk to us, to help us. God, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers of it, but let it be applied to us. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. Imagine that you are walking through a field. You are a shepherd. And you are in charge of sheep. Let us suppose that these sheep belong to you. And you are walking in a field and out of the corner of the eye, you see movement that catches your attention because it's not the usual milling of sheep and lambs. But it seems like there's a ruckus of sorts. And so you quickly turn and you realize that a lion has gotten a hold of one of the sheep, one of your sheep. And it has devoured it. In the little bit of time that you was busy doing the business of whatever needed to be done around the field, the lion crept in. And while that you was diligent about what was under your supervision and what belonged to you, yet the lion, the enemy, was able to make his way into your property and devour what belonged to you. And yet, as you looked, you realize, and I'm not trying to be graphic, but this is the analogy that was given to the prophet Amos. Imagine that the lion was not completely finished devouring the lamb, but there was a leg sticking out of its mouth and just a little piece of ear. And you see this, and fear, no doubt, would come on us because the lion can take us out just as fast as he takes the lamb out. But there's something in the shepherd, and I get this. The Lord is talking about Israel. I understand all of that. I understand the prophecy that was this. But tonight I'm looking at it from the standpoint of us being the shepherd. For we are leaders of our homes, are we not? And we are shepherds of our families, are we not? And we are stewards of what God has blessed us with, are we not? And so in many ways, we are the shepherd of what God has given us. It would no doubt strike a fear in us that would want to tuck and run or find some kind of weapon to take the lion out. The intriguing thing about this passage is that this particular shepherd did not spend time trying to take the lion out, but he spent time trying to save what many would have walked away from. I don't know about you, but I put myself this week in this situation, and I asked myself if that I would have fought the lion to recover just two legs of a lamb and a piece of ear of a lamb. I know that's what God would do for us, and I'm thankful that he did that for us. But today, if we're going to be like him, and if we're created in his likeness and his image, then I would call on us to ask ourselves the question, are we passionate enough about what we're in charge of to fight the lion to get back what belongs to me? Well, praise the Lord. Somebody would say, you know what? The two legs are worthless. You might as well just chalk it up as all is lost. But there was a shepherd that was so adamant and passionate about what belonged to him that he fought the lion just to recover what others would have walked away from. Come on now. Amen. It seems like two legs and a piece of ear isn't worth a whole lot. But I pray this week that God would put in me a desire. Come on. That would say, hell, you know what? You can come in like a flood if you want to. But you know what? As long as there's anything to save, then I'm going to fight with everything that's in me to make sure I recover it. And I'm willing to put my life on the line just for two legs and a piece of ear. In other words, you know what? You might have got a lot from me, but I'm going to fight for my victory. I'm going to fight for the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. I refuse to come to church and sit here, amen, and feel like I'm overwhelmed and feel like the enemy's got the best of me. But I'm challenging somebody in the Holy Ghost to get enough passion about you that you're willing to say, you know what? There's not a whole lot left, but I'm going to fight the lion for every inch of what's mine. I've heard, and we probably all talk some smack along these lines that said, you know what, if somebody comes into my house, they better be ready. And I've heard some of y'all talk like that too. I just pray that we're that passionate about our souls as we are about our stuff. Hallelujah. Oh my. You know what? One passage, and I don't have it in front of me tonight. It was this morning's notes, but the Bible said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what some of us need to do is get to busy putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't always just going to jump on you, but sometimes you need to put it on yourself. Sometimes you just need to let hell know, you know what, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you, and I'm going to take what belongs to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my, I pray that we can get as passionate about the things of God and about our soul as we are about material things. Yeah, I said in Jesus' name. I hope that we can have the passion of the shepherd that walks around with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Come on now. I wish that we'd get a chip on our shoulder about a roaring lion that goes about seeking whom that he may devour. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? If we're not careful, the enemy's going to take advantage of, he's going to take advantage of what little bit's left. And the poorer that we are, and the more needy that we are, hallelujah, I'm not talking about bills and money and bank accounts, but sometimes our spirit is depleted. We better be careful when we get to those places, because the enemy takes advantage and the enemy likes to control. Whew. Amen. You know what? I pray tonight that some of us in the Holy Ghost would just take control of our own life and take control as God would grant it to us of our own destiny. Come on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God. I wish tonight that some of us would take advantage of our own destiny and let hell know, you know what, I might not be much, but I'm going to fight for every inch. I, tonight, would tell somebody, you know what, get in a red hot prayer meeting until you're not concerned about what somebody thinks about you. I would urge somebody tonight to get into a red hot prayer meeting until you feel like that you don't have to jump when somebody says jump. Come on now. And that you're not just a little puppy dog on a leash, but you can be what you want to be with the help of the Holy Ghost in your life. And you can break out of what everybody's got you labeled as. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. I would pray tonight that somebody goes home and say, you know what, they might not think I'm much, but I'm going to take back two legs and I'm going to take back a piece of an ear. Too often we give up. Too often we give up. It gets a little bit difficult, so we quit. When the going gets tough, it's the tough that gets going. Come on now. You know what? We're distracted here tonight. Why don't we stand together? I'm almost done, but I'm not going to just let this spirit get on us. So why don't we lift up our hands? Why don't you close your eyes? Come on. Why don't you pray to God right now? Why don't you ask God to help us pass distractions? In Jesus' name, come on. Lift up your voice on a Sunday night. We need the Holy Ghost in this house. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say, to God be the glory. Everybody say, the devil's a liar. Everybody shout, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You know what? People try to control you when they feel like you're under them. But I'm here to tell you, you might not think like you're much. But I pray that you get a passion for the things of God that says, you know what? I don't care what they think, how big I am or how small I am, how insignificant that I am. Amen. I'm coming out the victor. I'm coming out victorious. I'm coming out the winner. Shine apostolic. You know what? God's wanting to take us higher and he's wanting to take us deeper all at the same time. But you know what? We're going to have to be urged along with a passion for the things of God. We're going to hate hell more than what we've ever hated hell before. And we're going to have to be mindful that the enemy would give up on us. But thank God that we got the tenacity, and then we got the boldness, and we got the integrity that will take on all of hell. That will take on all of hell. You're not getting my prayer life. You're not getting my joy. You're not getting my victory. There might not be anything worth, but I'm going to fight for it anyways. Hallelujah. I'm afraid tonight, and you can be seated, I'm afraid tonight that, you know what, there's a nonchalant attitude about hell that has crept up on some of us. I can't tell you enough how desperate and destitute you're going to feel when you realize that you're in a place without God. You wish that you had prayed then. You wish you could have been in a church service then. Come on now. Oh God. I hate the devil tonight. I hate the devil tonight. We can learn how to have church. But you know what? We need the anointing of God on us. We can learn how to shout. We can learn how to dance. And we can learn how to sing. But what we need is an old-fashioned anointing. Somebody needs to fight for it. So the shepherd fights the lion for two legs and a piece of ear. Some of us need to find a prayer meeting on Monday and pray our finances out of the mouth of a lion. You hear me? I said some of us need to pray our finances out of the mouth of a lion. Some of us need to pray our thoughts out of the mouth of the lion. I said some of us need to pray our Holy Ghost out of the mouth of the lion. Come on, some of us need to pray our emotions out of the mouth of a lion. Some of us need to pray our joy out of the mouth of a lion. Somebody needs to look at the lion and say, there's only a tip left, but I'm coming after it. Too often we see that, you know what, he's got the best of us. And we give in. We'll say, you know what, we'll chalk that one up for a loss. We'll do better next time. But I pray that there's a passion gets on us for what belongs to me in the first place. I said to what belongs to me in the first place. I'm not talking about stuff. I said, I'm not talking about stuff. But I'm talking about my power. I'm talking about my victory, talking about my joy, talking about peace that allows me to sleep at night. Come on now, talking about wisdom, talking about knowledge, talking about understanding. You know, too often we give the enemy credit. We give the enemy credit for our struggle. And we know, oh boy, this and this happened, so I'm going to struggle. You know what? It don't have to be that way. If you just get a mindset that says, you know what? That belongs to me. Holy Ghost belongs to me. Victory belongs to me. Amen. My testimony's my testimony. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how insignificant that it is. I'm coming after it. You know what? When you got a fire in your gut for the things of God. So when you got a fire in your gut for the things of God. You know what? We can't have too much church. Young people, listen to me. Nudge your neighbor right now. Nudge your neighbor. Tell him. Listen up to the pastor. Tell him. Come on. Some of y'all sleep up here. And I'm going to just tell you something. Listen to me, young people. If you're going to come up here and sleep, don't come up here. Now listen. 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 All right? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. But if you need to grow up by your mom and dad. Okay? Amen. Sit back by mommy until you can grow up. When you come up here, you're telling me you're here to support me. Right? You're here to support preaching. And if you can't support preaching. Yeah. Oh, somebody better pray right now, because I feel like I'm taking some stuff away from a lion. Devil ain't going to get my youth group. Devil ain't going to get my youth group. Now, young people, I just beat you up a little bit, so say amen when I beat up the parents, all right? But you know what? Some of you old folks sitting back there. Amen. You need to take some stuff out of the lion's mouth yourself. Oh, my. Amen. You need to get some stuff back yourself. You need to understand why you come to the church yourself. Amen. This ain't emotion we're just going through, but this is a way of life. Some of y'all ain't felt the Holy Ghost in so long, you forgot what it felt like. You need to fight off hell. I said you need to fight off hell until you talk in tongues again. You need to fight off the attack of the vicious lion until you're talking in a heavenly language that's going to save you from the bowels of hell. Some of y'all don't care about heaven or hell or where you go, then I would urge you just to do a little experiment. Go to Chicago or LA. Go to Chicago at night and walk through the ghetto. And if you're so big, bad, and brave that you can live life all by yourself, then come out the other side of Chicago ghetto and tell me that you don't care where you go. But you know, you sit in church. I'm reaching for people tonight. And I know it's coming across brash, but you know what? I'm fighting a lion. I realize we're fighting lions out of our life. Oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost, right now in Jesus' name. But you know what? When hell comes, amen, you're going to be surrounded by thieves, robbers, pedophiles. Come on now. I don't know, but my idea is about as good as anybody's. Some of y'all looking at the floor right now, the pulpit would be a good place to look. Amen. What's the matter with us? Hallelujah. Oh my God, help us. I just got this notion that hell and the sin and the vileness of flesh is going to be on full display. Come on now. I don't believe you're just going to burn up and that's all there's going to be to it. But the Bible talks about a torment. What do you think that torment is? It's going to be surrounded by the people that you tried to distance yourself from all your life. Come on now. It's going to be full of the sin that you thought you was better than all your life. Somebody better get your joy and your victory out of the mouth of the lion on this Sunday night. Come on. Thank God for somebody's got a passion. Thank God for somebody's got a righteous chip on their shoulder. I know that we do a lot of things out of tradition, and I got to close because I just can't go much further. I know we do a lot of things out of tradition. Not all tradition's bad. Some tradition we hold on to. I realize we do some things out of tradition. And if we're not careful, we're doing it for tradition's sake. You don't have to sit in the back just because you got a baby. You need to make sure that baby knows how to worship. Well, I know. I know what I just got sensitive ears. Well, you know what? I've seen a few young men around here. Hey, man, got headphones. Just get you a good set of headphones. That's the cutest thing ever. Just get them a set of headphones, but get them in the presence of God. You know what? God will take that child if it's hindering you. Somebody needs to get an attitude that says, above all else, I must be saved. You know what? If you're going to be scared, you might as well be scared fighting your enemy instead of scared and running. You know what? The thing that drives me crazy is people come out of the world talking about clearing bars and fighting this and fighting that. And then they come to church and act like the biggest wimps ever. Can't pray out loud. Afraid. You know, this time we get rid of excuses. Shine apostolic. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, I did this and I did that and I was this and I was that. Show me. Why don't you show the lion? Why don't you show the lion who you are? Why don't you show the lion who you are? Why don't you show the prince of the darkness of this world what kind of Holy Ghost you got? What kind of man you are? What kind of woman you are? Why don't you, I dare you, take two legs and take back a piece of ear. But it ain't worth it. It is worth it. I said it is worth it. Fight for everything that's in you. Fight for it all. Oh my. Feel like sometimes we know how to do it, and so we write this off. If I was some of y'all, you can be seated. I ain't that close. I need a little help on the music. You know what? Quit letting people control you. There's two kinds of control. The teacher walks into a schoolroom. Sunday school is my one. Teacher walks into the classroom and tells 20 kids, y'all better hush. Just sit there. You better be still. Don't move. 2:30, 3:30. Everybody's getting ready to go home. Teacher walks out of the room. Stranger walks in the class. Says, everybody sit in your seat. Don't move. Same words. Different kind of control. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, you know what? It's time that we let the Holy Ghost control us. God's word control us. That we submit ourselves, subject ourselves to authorities in our life. Come on. Hallelujah. But at the same time, it's time that we look at those that's keeping us down and trying to make us just like they are. And we need to say, you know what? I'm sorry. But I'm not under your control. Come on now. Not fitting in your mold. Not going to be who you're making me be. Hallelujah. We need to rise up and let God use us. Somebody in the youth group needs to say, you know what? I'm tired of peer pressure controlling me. Somebody in the pews. Parents, The elders need to say, you know what, I'm tired of the of somebody across the way trying to control me. But I'm going to have revival. I'm going to have a move of God. I'm going to be all that I can be. Here's what I feel in the Holy Ghost. You can remain standing. You know what? When the house gets so full of turmoil that it's creeping into the church, I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm talking about what I'm feeling here tonight. Somebody needs to say, you know what? It's time for me to go get two legs and a piece of an ear. Because it might not look much, but it's destroying my life. And it's destroying my home. And it's stealing my victory. Hallelujah. You know what? The first time you don't feel like praying, you need to get something in your spirit that says, you know what? I'm going to go get two legs and that piece of ear because it belongs to me. And it's not so much about what's left, but it's the principle that is mine. That is mine. And it belongs to me. And I refuse to let the lion take what belongs to me. You want a little taste of tomorrow night? Yes, sir. You want a little taste of tomorrow night? All right, we're two or three are gathered. You know what? I'm closing with this, but as a church, I believe God's taking us higher. Now, right now, we're in that waiting on God mode. Some doors we kick open, and I believe we've done that. But now we're in that wait on the Lord. Because now we're waiting on his timing. So we're right there. But you know what? In the process, I hope that we're a church that's willing to have such a passion about revival and about evangelism and about our city and about our church and about each other that we're willing to lay it all on the line for two legs, a piece of an ear. Hallelujah. We come to church and we really hope that the worship leaders and the musicians get anointed so that we can have good church. Because trust me, we know how to grade a service. The service is graded before the lights are off. Musicians are looking at the crowd and saying, I hope that they're ready for church tonight. Thank God for our musicians and worship leaders. I really, really appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. And I appreciate faithful saints of God that comes to worship and has a mind to break through. Sometimes it's not the words we're singing, but it's the glory that we are welcoming in. We're creating an atmosphere where people can face a lion and take back what's insignificant to so many else, but what means so much to me. You young people looking at me? Now listen, we have to pray. Pre-service prayer is important. You know what? If we're not careful as we are growing, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, and I see it happening already. There's enough already in the service that, you know what? I can kind of skip out, just kind of show up right at service time. Listen, this ain't a spectator sport. This is engage yourself, involve yourself. You only get out of it what you put into it. Pre-service prayer is just as important as putting gasoline in your car before you take a trip. And if you're not praying, you're just getting fringe benefits. It's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. But if you want to engage, show up for some pre-service prayer where you're the one helping create the atmosphere. Here's the second thing that happens when churches start growing. We get to this point right here. Altar service is given or a response is given and people dismiss themselves. Let's not do that. Let's linger around and see what God's going to do in the response. Let's not start flowing out of the parking lot before the lights are shut off. Let's not think the service is done just because the preacher set the microphone down. Hallelujah, it's quiet now. Anybody willing to take a piece of an ear up? Hey, that doesn't mean much, Pastor. That's little. But it's the little things that make a big difference. The lion needs to know that we're going to fight for legs and ears. Devil needs to know that we're going to fight for the legs. He can't take anything. We're not going to let him have anything. Now, musicians, I love you. Worship leaders, I love you. Love you. I appreciate you. You know what? It's hard. It's hard to talk to a volunteer army. But there's got to be structure here, even in volunteer armies. Otherwise, it's just chaos, right? So now listen, you know what? I appreciate all the practice and the skill. You make me proud. But I'm going to tell you something. If you spend a little bit of time in prayer to all the practice you're doing, you'd be surprised how easy your practices are going to go and how much easier it's going to be. That's right. Musicians and worship leaders, you expect us to get with a program. We expect you to spend some time in prayer. Matter of fact, I want every worship leader and musician who's not taking care of babies. I know you practice. I know the ladies have babies. You know, you got to go feed them and change diapers before service starts. But if you're not doing that, and the men sure ain't having to feed the baby, I hope. So you know what, worship leaders? I want you around the front. I want you as close to this front as I can get you. Musicians, I want to see you around front. Because for me, it's not just about skill. For me, it's about anointing. And those of you that thinks I'm beating up our musicians and worship leader, you better guess again, because I love them. Because I appreciate them. All that I'm doing tonight, please don't nobody be offended to me. But all that I'm telling our worship leaders and musicians is, you know what? You'll be surprised the victory we have if we stare down the lion and tell the lion, you know what? I come for two legs and I come for a piece of an ear. Come on now. Come on now. Yes. Yes. All right, I beat them up. I'm going to close by beating the rest of us up. You know what? I pastor. You see me here praying. You know what? You can't put all this on musicians and song and worship leaders. And we can't stand around looking around acting like we're dumbstruck. Like we don't know what to do. Like we got babies to take care of. We can't put it all on them. We can't expect them to do all the work. Some of y'all ain't getting victories because you know what? You're waiting for somebody else to pay the price. David said, Ornan said, look, he said, I will give you my threshing floor for a place to make your sacrifice. And David said, I refuse to offer sacrifice in a place that hasn't cost me nothing. He said, I don't want your threshing floor unless I'm able to pay the whole price of it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, you know what? Get a fire in your guts. Let there be a passion come out of your eyeballs. Let hell know that he's not going to get away, not with a piece of an ear and not with two legs, but we're coming after him because what belongs to me, and I'm going to get it back. Come on, let's think.